morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, June 11th, 2019. We have about 11 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. It's kind of funny how the date and the number of ships sometimes coincide. I'm always, it's an interesting little coincidence that happens sometimes. So we have 11 ships. You know, the number could change. That's what's on the schedule right now. The schedule evolves over the course of the day, and things change as ships come and go on the river. We have a relatively quiet day on the river. Yesterday, the entire Roast Festival fleet headed downriver and out to sea. I hope you got to see some of those vessels. In our marine weather forecast, we have small craft advisory for winds in effect through this evening. It means it's going to be kind of breezy. Small craft advisory range is 20 to 34 knots. And so when you get above 20 knots, it gets pretty windy out there. So we can expect north winds 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20 in the afternoon, wind waves from the north 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 5 feet at 9 seconds. And I've always heard that you should expect the winds, the weather essentially, to be worse offshore than the forecast says. And that's probably a really good way to approach being prepared when you go out at sea, just to have, when I've been on vessels that have been offshore, they have extra everything. You know, they have redundancies on as many things as they can possibly have, meaning two of things, so that if one breaks, they can replace it with another one. They have a lot of backup systems. So if you ever get a chance to go on one of the pilot boats for the Columbia River bar pilots and river pilots, the pilot boats have dual controls, which is a redundancy, so that if one set of controls fails, they have another one there that works all the time. And so you'll see that on vessels, that they have lots of backup systems. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about who's on the ships. That's always a topic that people are interested in, is the ships that come into the river here on the Columbia are from overseas. They're mostly foreign flag vessels. And so there are people from other countries on board. So we'll talk a little bit about who's on board those ships. But first, let's take a look at who is coming and going today. We have the Swan arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage, and she'll be there by about 7:30 p.m. She's the only vessel that is on our inbound schedule today. We have another one that's arriving in the wee hours of tomorrow morning, but that is sort of on into Wednesday, so I left that off. The schedule could change, and she could come in earlier, but things often happen to delay ships. They aren't often here early. So things that can delay a ship that's at sea, weather being diverted for reasons of the ships picking up different cargo, waiting for orders. There's lots of reasons why ships don't get where they're going. Fog is an occurring thing. Even when it's not necessarily foggy on land, there'll be fog issues offshore. And so that slows vessels down because they have to slow down because their visibility is reduced. So let's see. In the Astoria anchorage is off the downtown waterfront. We've got in Astoria, we have the Great Cosmos headed for Vancouver to pick up wheat, leaving around 9:30 this morning. She'll be in Vancouver by about 3:30 p.m. today. The Shimonami Star is headed for Kalama today from the anchorage. She's picking up corn, soy, or wheat. Passing Astoria around 11:30 a.m., she'll be in Kalama by about 4:30 p.m. And at the port of Astoria, that research vessel I talked with you about last week that's going out into the ocean eventually to do research off the Northern California coast, is our research vessel Falkor is still there at the port. She must still be conducting business, loading supplies, waiting for scientists to arrive, changing crews, things like that. The Ultra Tiger, the Sasebo Ace, the Little Prince, and the Azure are awaiting orders in the waters off Astoria. And in our outbounders, the Navigate Stellar is leaving Portland. She's a tanker, so some kind of refined petroleum on board. Leaving around 10 a.m., could pass Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. The Sea Melody 1 is leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat on board. Leaving around 12:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound then at about maybe 5:30 p.m. The Alam Sejaterra is leaving Portland carrying potash. She's leaving from the Port of Portland at about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 p.m. Let's talk a little bit about who's on the ships. The worldwide fleet of vessels, which means all the cargo ships on the world's oceans, are estimated to carry about 1.5 million seafarers. Now, that sounds like a lot, maybe divided between 50,000 ships or so. But these are the people who bring us all our stuff, a small percentage of the world's population. And many of those people never come here. There's a tremendous amount of ship traffic in the third world and other countries that never come to the United States. But there are So there's a small subset of the world's population that really essentially brings us all of our stuff. If shipping stopped, we would quickly notice it because there wouldn't be things that we want to pick up in our stores and things like that would not be there. The cars that you drive, that we all drive, the clothes we wear, a lot of the food we eat is brought to us on ships. So what countries, since most of the ships that come into our U.S. ports are from other vessels, who's on board? Citizens of what countries? Well, China, the Philippines, Indonesia, the Russian Federation, and the Ukraine are estimated to be the five largest supply countries for all seafarers, and that includes officers and crew members. The Philippines is the biggest supplier of crew, followed by China, Indonesia, and the Russian Federation, and Ukraine, while China is the biggest supplier of officers, followed by the Philippines. India, Indonesia, and the Russian Federation. In the time that I've been doing the ship report, I've gone on board ships and seen Chinese crews, Filipino crews, crews from India, and a crew from the Ukraine when I traveled in 2010 aboard a cargo ship for 10 days. The crew was primarily from the Ukraine. There were some Russian people on board. But they had all been hired by, so the staffing for these, the ships that you see coming into the river is generally not done anymore by the companies. There may be some smaller companies or some companies that choose to do their own personnel. But in general, it's a personnel company that staffs the vessel. And the one that I knew about from being on the ship in 2010 was a company called V Ships. And their job was to, the companies would give them a list of what they needed, officers and crew, and they would find people to staff the ships. And I remember the captain talking to me about he was not terribly happy with working with V Ships because the wages were lower. But he needed the work, and he was away for 3 months at a time. So he would be away for 3 months and then maybe away for 3-4 months and then home for a few months. And that was the way his family was really used to that. So if you were, you know, most people are used to their parents perhaps going to work and coming home at a certain time every day. Well, if your dad or your mom was a mariner on board one of these ships, they might be gone for months, kind of like in the military. So this is a very different lifestyle and not one for everyone. But so a little bit about how, if you're intrigued by this, how you could get into a career in the maritime world. A good idea would be to go to a maritime academy. There's a U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point, New York, and there are 6 state maritime academies in California, Maine, Massachusetts, the Great Lakes, Texas, and the State University of New York Maritime College. So those are some college-level programs that you could get into and basically go to college to become a mariner. There are also some great local options here. We have the Tongue Point Job Corps Center's seamanship program, which can take a person right out of high school, and you graduate with an Able Seaman certificate, which is a tremendous leg up in terms of salary when you enter the maritime industry. And also there's the maritime program through Classic Community College at MERTS. So we have a lot of options right here. I've always thought I wanted to take the MERTS classes just to learn all the stuff about how to do everything, all the navigation and all those things. It seems like it's a very interesting program. I've looked at the curriculum. So anyway, lots of options. The maritime industry is growing and will need officers and crew to meet demand. So there's an opportunity for someone who loves the sea to get into a pretty stable and lucrative career. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.